I'd like to recognize my colleague Larry Adams, who retired from federal service in May. He did most of the work for this. And yesterday he was chasing white-tailed deer around the Delta. It's a little cold there today. I don't know exactly what he's doing. In my research career, pheromones and pheromone traps have evolved from a basic concept to an almost underappreciated everyday practice. We report here observations of bollworm and tobacco bugworm populations from pheromone trap captures in Washington County, Mississippi, near the Stoneville USDA research facility. Given the abundance of entomological research by government, private, and industry scientists in that area, these are potentially important metadata for a number of entomological interests. The time frame of the studies, 1993 through 2015, are also important because they span the start and completion of boll weevil eradication and the introduction of BT transgenic cottons. Interest in research on pheromones of heliophines actually began in the 1960s. In the 1970s, intensified studies developed trapping systems and refined the pheromone blends. In the 1980s, field research expanded, and pheromone trapping of heliophines became an important component of most extension efforts. Funds were provided for regional and statewide monitoring, and the traps became ingrained in cotton entomology. Pheromone traps provided new research tools as well. They were used in mark release recapture experiments to estimate the impacts of very wide spraying of baculovirus on early season hosts. They were fundamental in the early study spread of insecticide resistance monitoring, just as you reported today. The moths were taken out of the traps with the virescens were. They were treated and the results reported the next day to extension agents in the Delta. Pheromone traps were also instrumental in unique area-wide studies of Heliotis virescens and subflexa. Some of these studies are perhaps the most fundamental estimates of generation dispersal of noctuids that we have. In the 1990s until present, a number of entomologists have studied temporal and spatial patterns of heliophine pheromone traps. These include a study by Domachak and Hubbard in the same area that we're reporting, studies by Allen and Luttrell in Arkansas on large farms, several early studies by Goodenough. I see John Westbrook here. Roger Leonard, when he was a student at LSU, had a paper. Meg has a couple of papers, one in High Plains and one in the Rolling Plains. And, you know, I suspect there are many longitudinal data sets, perhaps one in every state that has not been examined thoroughly. Our studies are similar to those that we're reporting and perhaps those that every one of you in this room have done. Hardstack-type traps were located at five locations in and around the Stoneville USDA facility. All of these were in a small area of about 50 square miles. The largest distance from the lab was about 8.5 miles. They were baited every other week with commercial Zaya lure and Bayer lure. And there was a single bollworm and a tobacco bugworm trap at each site, separated about 100 yards. Weekly samples began in the first week of April and concluded in the last week of October over the 23 years. There was a total of 3,450 samples taken. All the data were converted to number of moths captured per trap per night. They were studied by analysis of variance for effects of sample site and time. Resolution of time was looked at on an annual basis, on a monthly basis, and a weekly basis. Correlations between these annual data were also made to recorded crop acreages for Washington County, Mississippi, environmental conditions at Stoneville, Mississippi, USGS estimates of pesticide use for a small fraction of the time, and beltwide cotton insect loss estimates for the Delta. This slide shows the average annual trap captures for tobacco budworm, top graph, and bollworm, lower graph, based on analysis of variance, Effects of trap location and year were highly significant influences on tobacco bugworm captures, but there was no significant interaction between the two. For bollworm, there was a significant interaction between trap location and time. There was a significant trend for reduced tobacco bugworms over that 23-year period. There was not a significant trend in changes in bollworm numbers over that entire 23 years. Average monthly patterns of tobacco bugworm captures reveal a constant and progressive increase in population densities from April to September, suggesting positive population growth within the area. The highest average density was 25.2 miles per trout per night for September. With bollworm, the highest average density was in July, about 50 miles per trout per night. And over the 23 years, moth trap captures spread increased from April to July and decreased from July to October. This slide shows the data averaged by week of trap capture over the 23-year sample period. More peaks in abundance are apparent with tobacco bugworm, probably indicating the distinct generations. Overall patterns for bollworm are similar to those I showed you for monthly data, but a late season peak is evident. We have no explanation for this peak, but wonder if it might be associated with a southward movement of bollworm moths from the Corn Belt. This has been previously suggested by Gould and colleagues with stable carbon isotope studies. Before I show you results of the correlation analysis, I want to remind you of spurious correlations and the fact that association does not mean cause and effect. I copied this information from Google just to make that point. Amount of ice cream sold has been significantly correlated with deaths by drowning. Minister salaries are correlated with the price of vodka. Shoe size is correlated with reading performance of elementary school children. Number of doctors in a region is correlated with the number of people dying from disease, and the number of public libraries are correlated to the amount of drug use. We all recognize the dangers of spurious correlations. With that, I've got freedom. The first set of correlation coefficients I want to show you includes that entire 23-year period. As I mentioned in these data, tobacco bugworm numbers are negatively correlated to year, to time. A significant correlation between bollworm trap captures and time was not detected in the entire data set. This table lists correlation coefficients between measured crop acreages for Washington County, Mississippi, and tobacco bugworm, bollworm captures, and year. The relationships to year are important, as they may be associated with various spurious correlations. We also examine relationships to estimated insecticide use, average environmental conditions, and belt-wide cotton insect loss estimates. Tobacco bugworm trap captures were positively correlated with cotton acreage and negatively correlated with yield, soybean acreage, and corn acreage for Washington County. There were no significant correlations between Washington County crop acreages and bollworm numbers over the entire 23 years. Cotton acreage significantly declined, yields increased, and acreages of soybean and corn increased. The only significant correlation to estimated USGS insecticide use was a negative correlation between bollworm captures and kilograms of organophosphate insecticides applied to cropland in Washington County. OPs were also negatively correlated to year, suggesting the more extensive use of OPs early in the study period. Perhaps this is a spurious correlation, or perhaps some unexplained relationship to OP use and boll weevil eradication. Local environmental conditions were highly correlated with tobacco bugworm numbers, but not bollworm numbers, possibly suggesting that tobacco bugworm populations are more closely aligned with local environments. Bollworm trap captures were not associated with any of the belt-wide cotton loss estimates. Tobacco budworm densities were positively correlated with estimated Delta cotton acreage, estimated percent crop loss to insects, and estimated number of foliar insecticides used. They were negatively correlated with estimated yield and total cost of insect control per acre, perhaps indirect relationships to the efficacy and cost of BT cotton traits. Of general interest is a negative correlation in cotton acreage with year, and the positive correlations of yield, cost of foliar insecticides per acre, and total cost of insect control with year. The increased cost of insect control appeared to be a problem. However, we re-examined the data correlating cost to yield per acre, and there was no significant correlation. Or in other words, the cost of insect control did not increase per unit of cotton length produced over the 23 years. This is not completely positive. One might ask why it has not decreased, a question that suggests need for additional entomological research. A second study of relationships was conducted with a subset of the data, those for the period 2002 through 2015, because of that apparent trend in bollworm captures. With this reduced data set, there were no significant changes in tobacco budworm trap captures. A significant increase in bollworm numbers was evident between 2002 and 2015. There were no significant correlations in tobacco budworm or bollworm numbers with crop acreages in Washington County from 2002 through 2015. Cotton acreage continued to show a significant decrease over time, and soybean and corn acreage significantly increased. There was no significant increase in cotton yields. With correlation to the beltwide loss estimates, bollworm numbers were negatively correlated to estimated Delta cotton acreage, and positively correlated with cost of foliar insecticides and overall total cost of insect control. Note that they were not significantly associated with yield. In conclusion, H. fluorescens populations have decreased since 1993. H. zea populations have increased since 2002, but they are no higher than those measured in the mid-1990s. H. fluorescens populations consistently increased over the growing season, with changing densities related to a number of crop, environmental, and insect management metrics on a local scale. H. zea populations were more variable and less associated with local crop diversity and environmental conditions. Recent increases in densities may be related to increased soybean and corn acreage locally, or John, perhaps on a wider geographic scale. Cotton acreage in the study declined over the 23 years, soybean and corn acreage increased. No significant trends for decreased cotton crop losses or number of applications of foliar insecticides per acre were observed over the 23 years of observations. No significant trends for decreased cotton crop losses or number of applications of foliar insecticide per acre were observed over the 23 years of observations. Increased cost of foliar insecticides and total insect control per acre were noted, but partially offset economically by increased cotton yield over the study period. Researchers should continue to examine the ecological as well as economic cost and benefits of insect management. A broader examination of heliofine moth captures across the entire U.S. cotton belt and associations with local and beltwide crop and environmental metrics could provide new insight. Fred perhaps explained some of our other variables into heliofine population management and perhaps factors occurring on local and larger geographic scales, and relative impacts of crop management practices on heliofine populations. Thank you.
Any questions?
Quick question.
Walter.
Randy, the first point about fully insecticide application, you mentioned that this, but it's total insecticide applications on the crop were, he was on, he'd be online directed.
So for these data, it was the estimates, but primarily those made by Blake Layton and Angus for the Mississippi Delta. Is what they estimated each year, that association with their estimated use for all. We have the data, but for all insects. So certainly tarnished plant bug is a component of that. Well, I mean, Meg is in the room. He did that. He's done that in Texas. Roger has done that in Louisiana. John Westbrook is probably the guru of this. But what I'm suggesting is that I think we have a lot of data in our entomological community, and we have the capacity to crunch numbers that we didn't have 10 years ago, that we probably could be looking at this stuff. And I would give a compliment to my Mid-South colleagues. You see the way that David was conducted no studies. They're sharing data, they're analyzing stuff, but we have a lot of historical data that could be spatially and temporally examined. Any other questions?
All right. Thank you.